Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
When it comes to home insurance, Geico works for you. And since I'm the Geico Gecko, I work for you too.
Hey, Gecko, could you DJ my workout?
I got you, Derek. I know you like them sweet beats on leg day. Great home gym, by the way.
That's fire, Gecko.
I call this remix. Bundle your home and car insurance so you can save and get coverage that grows with you.
Oh, yeah. Rolls right off the tongue. And you know what else I like?
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions has begun. I am Gabriel Moritz, and I'm on the Grid Series XM channel 159. Let's do this thing. We've got a stacked program this evening. Cousin Sal's going to join us. Steve Merrill's kicking it with us. We've got Cherrapan from the Strip. We've got Coach Young talking NBA Finals. We've got Mick Ossie from Planet Mick. And we've got Dubsy, the Australian Power Hour. I think we've got six guests on the program today. So we are stacked. Steve Merrill's going to join us in a couple of minutes. We'll get into the NBA. We'll get into the Major League Baseball card. And we'll talk a little NASCAR with Merrill as well. A little bit of something for everybody. We even have a USFL football game tonight. If you're really hardcore, there's some CFL preseason. But next Thursday night, the CFL regular season kicks off. Cam, that's right. Some preseason CFL action tonight, and of course a very, very critical hockey game tonight at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. New York Rangers, of course, took game one. And I'm telling you, Cam, I don't know if you talked about it in your update, and I've heard people talk about it all day, and I'm going to stand by this. And I just heard Tony Kornheiser say 17-0 a couple of moments ago, that Vasilevsky and the Lightning are 17-0 off of a loss. I'm seeing 18-0 everywhere, and I'm just thinking, I don't know where this 18 came from. They haven't lost in a long time, right? Like, they won the last two games against the Leafs. They won four straight against the Panthers. I don't know where everybody got to 18. It sounded, you know what it is? Like Bill Goldberg. Goldberg, it's like his streak in the old days when they said he was 56-0. I'm like, how's he 56-0? Was he wrestling eight times a day? I think people, like you would say, sounds made up. He's 17-0, not 18-0. Right. I maintain it. 17, I say.
I say 17 as well. I don't recall 18.
All the media outlets are saying 18-0. I'm like, where's the 18? It's been 17, and they haven't lost in 3 weeks.
Exactly. So, you know what? Here's the deal. Tampa Bay's amazing. Veteran team coming off a loss. It's going to be a tough game tonight, Gabe, but I'm going to tell you something. That MSG, that building is rocking. I love what's happening right now with this team. They're the younger guys are stepping up. Shesterkin's an animal. The Rangers are well coached. It's not going to be easy for Tampa Bay to get 18. I'm saying it's going to be a real, real tough game tonight.
You notice MSG is the one arena, Cam, in which you don't see visiting fans in. just don't,
because they don't. All Ranger gear. Yeah. They don't want to go there.
Because exactly. The Ranger fans are like, I'm not selling a ticket, right? Yep. I'm not selling a ticket. Or people in New York will buy the tickets right away immediately. They, you know, like they really do have something going on. No, they got something special going on there at the Garden. Without a doubt, big game tonight at the Garden. NBA is off until Sunday night. We got Major League Baseball. We got early. Major League Baseball going on. Joe Girardi has been fired. We were just talking about this earlier in the week. I don't really see how it's his fault that this team, like, you know. But it is what it is. Managers, you get hired to be fired. So it's what you do. But we also know, Cam, the teams always win that first game after they fire the coach or manager, right? So is this the game tonight? You're pulling the trigger?
I don't know. I'm not really.
Usually it's the next day. It's like the day up.
Yeah.
So it's day up. So I was like, oh, do we bet the Phillies tomorrow? I'm like, no, I guess we bet them tonight. They just fired the guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, did the players like Girardi? I don't know how they're going to respond. The thing is, they got major injuries on their team, Gabe. And
I don't think they disliked them.
No, I don't think they did either. I believe
he stood up for them quite a bit, to be honest.
He did. He did. And is it Girardi's fault? As you mentioned, the bullpen blows. Harper's hurt. They got injuries. They lose so many one-run games. Take a look at the record. One-run games. They always seem to lose them. Philadelphia, they're just a team I can't back.
Their
right
pitching's bad, bro. Like you said, their starting pitching is just average, and then their bullpen is bad.
Yes,
like, very bad. And you have injuries. I don't really know, like, why you blame Girardi. Like, and let me tell you something, Philadelphia. You're going to get a better manager than Joe Girardi?
No.
Like, you can't say, oh, Joe Girardi doesn't know what he's doing. And let me just say something about this, too. You know where their last manager was, Cam, before? Mm-hmm. Gabe Kapler. He's doing a pretty good job in San Francisco now, isn't he?
Excellent. Yeah. So it was Kapler.
Yeah, there's a problem. You notice the pattern with Philadelphia sports teams? So they have Kapler. It's Kapler's fault. Because one time, Cam, if you remember, Kapler pulled the pitcher, and he didn't have anybody warming up in the bullpen. So he got mocked big time. This guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He went out and he pulled a pitcher. He got caught up in the moment and was so damn mad, he just took the ball. I was like, and then he realized, oh, damn, I didn't get anyone
to warm up. Me and you would do if we were managing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's not like he's an idiot. It was just sort of caught up in a moment mistake. Like,
haven't we all lost our minds?
He said, give me the ball. You're out of the game. And they were dude, you didn't warm anybody up. And the ump came out and said, listen, you don't have anyone warming up, right?
Come on, Gabe. What's going on, buddy? No, I'm with you. Hey, if I was a manager, I'd do that multiple times probably. You know me, Marenzi. I get those brain freezes. But he
was super analytical, Kapler. Like, he had all these sort of, like, I don't care, like, if that's the way it's done, I'm doing it this way, right? I'm changing the way things are done. And they didn't like it in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And, dude, he was new, of course, going to make some mistakes along the way. I said, Cam, he's one of the best managers in baseball right now, this guy. You got to give people a chance sometimes, like, not 2 weeks. Look at the Philadelphia 76ers. Remember in the old days, Cam, big man on campus, everybody else, oh, Brett Brown's an idiot. Brett Brown, the coach. Now Doc Rivers is an idiot. It's Doc Rivers' fault. I don't know. Like, you guys, a lot of patterns between the Phillies and the Sixers here. Like I said, I don't know who you're going to get better than Gabe Kapler and Joe Girardi, but – you can't get better than Steve Merrill, who joins us next. We're getting us some baseball. It's pretty nice of me.
Yeah, very good.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's do this thing. Game Time Decisions continues. It's a good thing I've got the super soundproof, bulletproof windows in the studio here. There's like some kind of band, man, And they're like, they're crushing it. Like, they're smashing drums and like cymbals and stuff. Cam, psh, psh, psh. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, there's literally like, there's hundreds of people out there, and there's like, they have a red carpet and everything. And I think it's for the Panamanian soccer team. I'm not sure. I'm just saying. No, I live next to a stadium in Panama playing.
Yeah, that's great.
They're all in red. So I'm like, I don't know. It's just like the welcoming committee for Panama, but it's getting regal and stuff. Now you got security and they got like, I don't know what the hell's going on. But Panama's playing against Canada. And there's a bunch of like autograph seekers lurking around the hotel and stuff like that. I gotta tell you, there's more people around for soccer than there was for hockey. Can always tell a popular team, Cam. I always got a kick out of that. Like the Columbus Blue Jackets mean nothing outside.
Can I get your autograph?
Like sometimes I'd look out my window early in the day and I'd see like, you know, six or eight fat guys hanging outside the hotel. I was like, the Oilers are playing tonight. Guys with their memorabilia. You should see these guys, Steve. I showed Cam these guys at the Super Bowl. They're monsters, these guys. They're monsters.
No, you talk about the chat as parasites and maggots. Those autograph seekers are the lowest of the low. I remember when I was in Montreal with
Dude,
you.
Dude, they're
and
pushing
Karen,
kids
too?
Out of the way. Oh,
pushing kids, exactly what I was going to say.
Give me the stuff.
Me, Cameron, I forget what NFL quarterback it was. Remember we even said he's a cool guy because remember the NFL quarterback said you should be effing ashamed of yourself. He goes, this is disgusting. He goes, I'm not signing. And me and Cameron were like, he said, you're an effing disgrace. Yes, you are. Can you sign? Who was it, Cam? Who was it? He's a former quarterback. He said, F you. I'm not signing anything. You're a disgrace. And he kept walking back.
We were like, yes.
Was it the guy was on the Broncos? Was it Buddy, not DeLome? What's his name? Jake the Snake. Was it Jake? I think it was Jake the Snake.
It was Jake Plummer.
And you heard him after. That's even better. You're a disgrace. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Steve. So not only are they pushing kids, they bring kids.
They use them as runners.
I saw these big guys, these mean-looking dudes, told the kid, hey, they're coming, hey. And it, like they grab the kids and push them to the front, and the kids have the ball, and they tell them, call his name. And the poor kids don't even know who these guys are. Oh, Emmett, Mr. Smith, because all these guys are walking past and stuff. But that was the best. Plummer said, you're an effing disgrace.
You guys are
I'm not signing anything.
Losers.
He signed for one kid or two. It was a real kid, like real parents, and he kept going, you know?
It was the best. Yeah, if you want to meet creeps, go to a collectible show. Like, you're not going to some of these guys are unbelievable, man. Like, it's
you know what Patrick Waugh does, Steve and Cam? He's the best, the goalie, the Hall of Famer, right? Yeah. He'll sign your autograph as an adult. He damages your product.
Yeah, that's it. Bend the card. Bend the photo.
So, like, people are like, can you sign my card, Patrick? Even as a grown man, he'll be no problem. He'll sign it, and then he'll just bend it or tear the corner off.
Amazing.
Here you go.
I love it.
Can't sell it.
The other thing you do, too.
If you really care about me, then you don't mind, right?
You personalize the ball, right? Hey, kid, what's your name? Buddy. To Buddy, you know, Jose Canseco. That's what you do. That's how you get the dealers also.
Well, the thing is, exactly, because thing is, people don't want names on the ball. It's worth more without a name. You don't want the name. You're exactly right. Yeah. Some other guys are smart, too. Like, some other stars will do it. They'll sign, and then after, they'll just put, like, an X. Sort of like they'll sort of like accidentally let the Sharpie, like they'll sort of just so they know, like, you're not selling,
Zorro
bro.
Did it.
Like,
Zorro used to autograph that way with his sword.
Yeah, Zorro dealt with a lot of creeps.
He dealt with creeps also. You're exactly right. Yes.
I used to,
Cam, that might be on after the A team.
Yes, good call, Harold.
I used to wonder, so, like,
Gabe,
that,
I'm all
like,
excited right now because Sports Grid is in between right now, Kojak and the A team on the other two channels right now on my local.
Oh, you're on the cable. You're watching me TV. I'm aware. Yeah. I'm aware. Yeah. So
you're one channel away from me TV. I live
A-team
in this
team was
rain.
Just added. I watched the A team launch party marathon.
I did not know this until 5 minutes ago, and I'm extremely excited because I haven't seen A team for a few years. They've taken, I think, Dukes of Hazzard has been banned from all networks ever since the Confederate stuff, and all we got left is the A team now. Two great shows.
Weekdays at 6. Weekdays.
This me TV channel.
Don't tell people that. You're
hot.
On at 6 Eastern.
Yeah, I know.
No. No, watch the A team later. PVR it. Watch this show.
They're not giving you actual info on the A-team. It's 40 years old.
I got through like an episode and a half or so, maybe two, before I tapped out. Like, I watched it for a couple hours.
Love
before
it.
I tap out.
I just love that they had a rule in the A-team, right? Like, you couldn't kill anybody. So it's just funny.
Everyone
so, like,
always gets out. Yeah.
They shoot up the place, Cam. They shoot the bar up. Bam, 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 bam. And then after, they always got to show the guy sort of crawling away. Oh, he's all right. He's all
You're
right.
You're exactly right dead. About that. Yeah, nobody was ever killed. That's a great bar fact right there. Yeah, nobody was ever killed. They literally tumble five times. They get out of the NASCAR.
They always,
ride.
And I think always have to show that little split second of buddy getting out of the car or moving.
Palmer, like,
told me that years ago. And I've always noticed it since. You're exactly right. Yeah, it's good stuff. I like that rule. That's good for the kids. It's a friendly show. You know,
yeah, and it goes to show exactly. They're telling you, listen, you can blow one up wherever you want, but we can't be blowing people up on TV, right? You got to show the guy sort of roll up. Yeah. But then it gives the kids the thing. No, you'll be fine.
That is the downside.
Blow up the Knievel
theory.
Yeah, I saw Evel Knievel. I saw the Fonz jumping shark. Why can't I?
That's right.
Evel Knievel.
Fonz surfs with his leather jacket on, Mom. Why can't I put that life vest on, Jimmy?
Amazing. No one's done it. I like tried to recreate. I'm jumping over Caesar's Palace's fountain. That was the best.
Good call.
I've seen him in traction so for simple. Months. That was enough to
just
get
in
me
Vegas.
Off.
Yeah, I know.
You were telling me, Marazzi, didn't your grandfather barrel jump in hockey? I'd like to see something like that again.
He used to jump over barrels
anymore.
On the ice.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the ice skates. That's pretty cool.
Oil barrels, yeah.
Old school.
Used to be a big deal in the 40s and stuff. Yeah, he set a record at the time. I mean, he was like 12 or 14.
They lift the legs up. They do the big tuck jump. They'd fly and then tuck.
Yeah, exactly. In the air, and he'd land on the side.
That's a lot of barrels.
Well, it's pretty painful if you land on them too. It's not a good time. So yeah,
how's your grip?
You didn't have to land on the skates, did you? You didn't have to land clean, did you, Gabe? You just had to not hit the barrels. Was that the rule?
They didn't. No, there was no judging for the landing and stuff like that. No.
just had to clear the wood.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? Last thing about this though is like they used to play outdoors, and like my grandfather played in 1936 Olympics in Germany, and it was outside. It was in the mountains and stuff. It was very picturesque. It was beautiful. But I said, how was the ice? He goes, obviously not very good, right? And and he goes, whatever. It wasn't that bad. But then Cammy told me it was funny. He goes, I felt bad for the figure skaters on that ice. Imagine figure skating on that outdoor stuff. One little thing that people don't realize, like, it's a lot of ruts on outdoor ice. And if you're a figure, it doesn't take a lot to fall. Like, even Wayne Gretzky would fall outdoors at some point. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter how good you are, Steve. If you're skating and there's a little hole in the ice, you're going down, bro.
Like, figure skaters need it pristine. It's got to be like glass. Like, right.
And the thing is, figure skaters chew the ice up pretty good, Cam, with those razor teeth things they have on the
toe picks. The toe picks.
Yeah, because they got a set. Yeah.
They're sharp, man. There's
a famous story. Elvis Stoiko, Steve. Cam knows it with Eric Lindros. Yeah. They were up at the cottage. They had next to each other. Elvis Stoiko is like a big time figure skater, right? Gold medalist type guy.
Amazing.
He dressed up a bit. You know what I'm saying? So he had the sparkly, you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, a little flamboyant. So Eric Lindros, big tough hockey guy. They were having a couple of beers. I guess it got Lindros brought up, you're a wuss. You're a figure skater type thing.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Didn't end well for Lindros, Cam. That's the word on the street. Big tough hockey player, Elvis Stoiko, like gave him a karate kick to the face. Like, you're tough. Boom. And like, you think about it, Steve. You see these guys? You know how hard it is to spin around and carry a girl on top of your head on one arm?
Exactly.
Like, dude, I could, like, you can't. It's like the men gymnast stuff. This guy's spinning and like up on the bars and stuff like that. These guys are tough.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's do this thing. Game time decisions continue. Steve Merrill with us. Steve, we were talking about the Philadelphia Phillies earlier. And is it a blind bet anytime somebody fires the – it's not in every sport, but football is different. Shorter games. But let's say hockey, baseball, basketball. People often like to bet on the team, no matter the circumstance, too. No matter the circumstance. Because either the team didn't like the guy and it's like, all right, now it's on us because we got him fired. Or it's like, man, we just got this guy fired. Like, that's how bad we are. Like, this is pretty bad. We just cost this guy our job. We better wake up here. And it's too bad. Sometimes that's the way it plays out. Is this a blind bet on the Phillies tonight, Steve? Can you trust them against the Halos, who are the definition, buddy, of a falling knife?
Knife.
Exactly right. And that's the analogy I was going to use, Gabe, is I was going to say, you know, a lot of times when you fire a manager or a coach, it's because you're a falling knife, right? And we know that we don't want to try to catch that falling knife until we see it hit the ground. But what's ironic here is that the Angels have actually had a worse losing streak. They've now lost 8 straight. Phillies have lost 5 of their last 6, but they're coming off a win, 6-5, which is a little unusual. So, I think it's a situation you could probably take a flyer with the Phillies, the Philly Flyers. And look, they've had 19 hits their last 2 games, 10 runs. They've had 4 runs or more in 4 straight games. You know, I'm a big proponent of offensive momentum. Angels 1 run exact in their last 3 games. So I think the Angels are a fade here, and you can make a case the Phillies might have a little bit of a bump on top of that.
What do you think, Cam? Are you playing this game?
I'm not touching this game with a 10-foot.
Wow.
I want nothing to do with it. I'd rather actually bet a Marlins game or whatever. I don't trust the Phillies and the Angels.
We know you'd rather bet a Marlins game. We know you're going to bet a Marlins game.
I don't want this.
You have Marlins colors on. You look like you're a Floridian right now. You fit right in.
That's right. Hi, everybody. I'm Marlin Man. I'll meet you at the P.O. box. Well,
hi, I'm Cam Stewart. Welcome to the Florida Marlin pregame show.
Yes, exactly. I am Marlin Man tonight. No, I don't like the game, Gabe. I'm betting about 7 others, but not that one.
What about the Marlins?
Hey, Gabe, speaking of the Marlins, the Marlins are the most underrated team in baseball if you look at expected one-loss record. That's, you know, runs scored, runs allowed. They're plus 19 for the season. They should be 27-22. They're 21-28. That's a difference of 12 net games each way, 6 each way. So all jokes aside, like, they just don't win close games. And, of course, we saw last year Seattle was a lot better than they should have been, and that continued all year. So it might not change. But the Marlins also last year, I think at one point, was the only team in the NL East that had a positive run differential. Even when the Braves were still negative, they went on, you know, to win the whole thing. So could the Marlins be that sleeper this year? We talked about the Nationals in 2019. They were 19-31. They win it. Braves were below 500 for, like, August last year. They win it. Might be the Marlins. Cam might be on to something.
Cam believes. Cam's ahead of his time because he's been all year. The Marlins are good, I'm telling you. And I'm like,
their pitching is awesome.
They are better than the record.
They don't hit. But their starting pitching's great. Like you saw, like, they shut out the Giants yesterday. They just got to consistently put runs together. You say it, Steve. Like, they lose a lot of those games, 2-1, 3-2. They always get pitching. Like, it's just they need some consistent hitting. But yeah, I like
what
the
about
Marlins
the Reds? You playing the Reds? You are playing the Marlins. You playing the Reds?
Gabe, just like yesterday, our loser card. I went up to the window with all those loser teams.
By definition, the Reds are hot right now.
They are.
You know what I'm saying? Like, by their standards. How about the Dodgers? Guys, talking about just the blind bet, and I said it last night. I said, they're not playing the Pirates. The Dodgers will win tonight, and of course they went
on the
run line
last night.
Really, is amazing, isn't it, Steve? Like, the Pirates beat them 6 out of 7 times. Then a great Met team rolls in, Dodgers shut him out and win.
It's
crazy.
Great.
It's one of those weird deals,
by the way,
with the Pirates.
And Miami, by the way, 6-15 in one-run games. The Phillies are 4-10. So a lot of times teams aren't as good. It's a very thin line between winning and losing in baseball. So I do like to look at the one-run. Hey, by the way, Yankees, 10-4. Yankees are 10-4 in one-run games. They're probably overachieving right now. So, you know. And also the schedule. I think the Yankees have played the Orioles, 9 or 10 times this season, and they've I like to look at the one loss against winning teams. Some of these teams haven't played many winning teams yet, even though.
I'm telling you, it's 13 or 14 now. It's up to that high, yeah. Because me and Cam
played 16 of their 51 games against winning teams. Only 16 of their 51 have been winning teams. So they've played a lot against the Orioles.
Yeah, that's why the Blue Jays are still live in that division.
Yeah, right.
They really played 24 games against winning teams versus 16 for the Yanks. The Minnesota Twins, 8 games. They're 2-6 against winning teams. They're 28-17, I believe, against all other teams. So, you know, the Twins are overachieving. So baseball is a big number sport, obviously. 162 games, we're over 50 in. Still some misleading records out there.
The small margin for error, you're right. There's a fine line between winning and losing. Really is. Even going back to last year, I don't want to relive it, but the Braves beat the Dodgers. The Dodgers did have runners on second and third with nobody out.
Almost every inning.
Just one inning. Ridiculous. Just one inning, not inning. Just saying, there it is. It's different. But you know what I mean?
No, you're right.
It is what it is.
And guys, just for a note for all the bettors out there, the Jays, that line's moved out. Four Minnesota Twins can't get over the border due to the COVID restrictions, so they're missing four players in this series coming into this one tonight.
Good info.
The Jays are now -240.
It's crazy.
Yeah, how many of the guys are impact players? But that's all. But there are four guys short. Kikuchi's on the hill, -240. They've won 8 in a row now. Toronto Blue Jays. Before we move on, Steve, anything on baseball you want to share with us here before we move on to NASCAR basketball?
Jumping on that Toronto Blue Jays, speeding bullet, as Gabe Morenci and I have coined and trademarked, the opposite of a falling knife. The Blue Jays had underachieved all season. They played 24 winning teams, as I mentioned. I think they're still a play on until we see otherwise. You obviously got to take the run line, but good offensive team. Have no problem laying that run and a half. I think that's going to continue to work for you.
Their offense started to come alive. They've got a nice home field advantage in Toronto. Oh, okay. So NBA. Wow. What a game one last night, man. Talk about was the widest, the biggest swing in NBA finals history. It had never happened before that a team was down by double digits going into the fourth quarter and won by double digits. 24 point swing. 17-0 run late in the game. That was the icebreaker right there. From the 6-minute mark to the 1-minute mark, there was a 17-0 run for Boston. I do have my concern, Steve, as someone to pick Golden State to win the series before that happened, and that Boston, quite frankly, didn't even play their best game, and they flicked the switch, and they were able to win. But then there's the other argument is that, well, man, Golden State were rolling them. I told the story last night, Cam and Steve, and I should have known better. I didn't do it, though. I came this close to tweeting out when they were up by like 15. Oh, yeah, this Boston defense is great. Oh, yeah, they're really shutting Golden State down. I didn't do it, though, Cam.
I'll be that guy.
After the game, and then,
it's the kiss of death. I remember I had like an 8.
But I thought about it, I admit it, and I was like, no, it's not over yet. And then they come back and win. What do you think of game two, Steve?
Well, look, I was on Boston, and when it was 92-80, I was not feeling good about it. So I didn't necessarily see that coming either.
Yeah.
But, you know, I went back. I actually watched the fourth quarter again this afternoon. I like watching it kind of when you know what's going to happen because you see things differently. And, you know, it's 6.5 minutes to go. It's still a tie game, which I forgot it was that close even at the halfway mark. And that's when Horford hit the three. He hits another three. Al Horford set an NBA Finals record for debuted 6-for-8, most ever for a guy in his first NBA Finals, and he's a center. The guy makes 1.3 a game on average.
Is it 6 in the third, in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
It was 6 in the fourth quarter.
It's not like they can stop that if they want. They didn't care about stopping it, right? Now they need to stop it. So I look for Horford to regress. That's a concern. However, the flip of that, Jason Tatum, who was -110 to be the leading scorer of the series, was 3-for-17, and they still won. He had 13 assists. So I think Tatum actually has a lot of upside. So that's kind of a wash. I like Tatum over 26.5 points. He had a bad game 3 against the Bucks. He was 3. I think he was like something like 4-for-19 in that game. He came back and he put up 30 in the game. And he put up 34 and 46 the two games after that. So I look for Tatum to bounce back, Horford to regress. That's probably a wash overall for the Celtics.
One thing that we hit last night, Cam and Steve, was the Tatum over 4.5 assists. Yeah, in the first quarter.
Yeah, great.
Like, not even in the first quarter. Literally.
He's an assist
I couldn't
machine.
Even believe how fast. I looked at my account. I was like, I thought I had no money left. And I put it on. I was like, no, I got paid already. Dude, they moved it from 4.5 to 5.5. And I hear what you're saying, Steve, because I think you're right. He was 3-for-17 from the field. He's obviously going to be better. He finished with 12 points. So he's not going to have as many assists, but still, he's been an assist machine recently. This is a part of his game that he's added during the playoffs. He realizes that, you know, if I'm not hitting my shots, I can still contribute. And they're all just about making plays. And we talked about it yesterday about Jaylen Brown potentially being the leading scorer for the Celtics. Yeah. One good thing is we got in, though, on that Draymond cam. He did have 11 rebounds, despite how poorly he played. That's, I got Draymond at the really most good rebounds, Steve, at plus,
and he fouled out, guys.
Plus 750.
Yeah, and he fouled out. Six fouls. And don't forget Curry, 21 points and then no points in the second quarter because he had three fouls. So that's an upside for Golden State for you, Gabe, I think, is that, you know, Draymond and Curry both won't have as many fouls. Jordan Poole, another guy that did not play well. He had only 9 points.
Yeah, he needs
points
to be better.
And I think he will. I like him over 13.5. That's another player prop I like, is over 13.5. This is a guy that had at least 12 points or more in 5 of the previous 6 playoff games before 9 last night. And he was 1 for 5 from 3. So I think he gets over 13.5 and he does play better.
What about Wiggins, guys? Because I hit Wiggins last night, 15.5. He's now gone over this in 4 of 6. They've moved it up to 16.5, dropped a smooth 20. And remember, Cam, when we kidded about the first basket of the game? I said Wiggins 3. It nearly happened.
Wow.
I'm almost glad it didn't, because I would have had a heart attack because I didn't get the bet in. And he saw it, I'm like, oh my God, it's 0-0 and Wiggins is taking a 3. It looked like it was going in.
That's unlikely.
Those first basket and first goal props, it's like the lottery. You can't miss your numbers. You got to play it every time.
No, that's why I said, though, I don't want to start doing it.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I'm always going to get mad at myself after. Oh, I knew it was going to be a Wiggins 3. Who wins the NASCAR race, Steve? 10 seconds.
Kyle Busch has been looking really good. It's a flat track, though, kind of like Pocono. And I think Hamlin, Truex, Harvick, those guys are tough.
Thanks, Steve. Always a pleasure. Great
stuff.
Thanks,
Steve.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good weekend.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decision continues. I am Morenci, kicking it with a raging redhead. Cam Stewart. Another big weekend of sports. Every weekend for the last month or a couple of months has been big, but we got another big one. We got the NBA Finals on Sunday night. We've got NHL playoff hockey. The conference finals continue through the weekend. Ukraine and Wales playing for the last spot into the World Cup. That's pretty big time right there. Wales haven't been to the World Cup since 1958. They missed the longest run in the world. They've missed 15 World Cups in a row, and obviously Ukraine is the Ukraine story speaks for itself. The match is in Wales. We got the French Open, and congratulations to Cam. Let's bring in Cousin Sal, and we'll share Cam's greatness with Cousin Sal as Cam took a piece of Casper the Ghost Ruud to win. What'd you get in that game? 40-1?
I thought it was 40, Gabe. I got it twice. I hit it. I hit it at 30 pre, and then I got it at 20 after a couple matches. So yeah, I got two. The problem is, as we just, I just looked at the odds, and I feel sick. Like I can't hedge. Like, what am I gonna do? Nadal's.
I'm shocked to see Nadal. to be this big of a favorite. Let's bring in Cousin Sal. What's up, Sal? How you doing? You been betting the French Open?
You brought me in at exactly the right time. Well, don't say you can't hedge. You go in Dow, you go Sphere Tech, whatever the name is, and you take the Avalanche to win the series. And now you're down to minus 180 or whatever. You have to wait a few days, but that's the way to do it.
I like your style, Sal. I got to do something.
I was going to say, you don't really have till Sunday either to wait, Cam. You're going to have to figure this out because you need to get this stuff done before the match.
You're right. I don't want to make a decision after work.
Yeah.
After work, I got to bring out my paper, Gabe. Let's put some parlays together.
Can we talk about that screw job, though? If you bet on Nadal this morning, you don't win, you get a point, you get refunded. Like, that's one of the things that these sports books need to change. Like, this is the only head-to-head game match contest where you get screwed if you bet on a player and the other player or boxer or whatever.
Great point. Because Hideki Matsuyama in golf, he had a shot with an illegal club. He's done. And then there's all these rules. Oh, it's got to go two sets. So, guys, Brency, on injuries, guys are always, this was a real injury, but it's crap. I agree. The result is the result. Pay the man.
A golfer bails after the first hole and a head-to-head matchup, you win, right? Bails, you win. MMA fighter bails. A no moss in boxing, you win. Like, I don't understand why it's
you should win. Different. You should win, and you used to win. But what happened was the Davidenko. Basically, the bettors caught on to telling players, listen, you're not really throwing anything. Just say you're hurt. Start the match and say you're hurt.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? You're not, what's your integrity? It's not like you threw the match. Maybe you don't even want to be there anyways in Cincinnati this weekend.
Well, right? Here's the problem. Let me ask you this, Gabe. You're an up-and-coming player, right? You're getting 20-1 odds. You're facing Nadal, right? You come to me and you come to Cam. You say, hey, put $100,000 each on me. No worries. If I'm losing in the second set, I'll just fake an ankle injury. I'll walk out and get your money back. Where's the integrity there? What are they really protecting?
It's a problem. Tennis, God knows, I don't even pretend to know all the schemes that are going on in tennis with these guys.
Oh, there's
in
so
Europe,
many.
You're not allowed a laptop in the tennis arena.
Is that right?
No.
Yeah, because you're ahead of the live betting, right? Because you're there.
Gotcha,
and you can bet. Tennis is so big, you can bet on every, like, you know, next point, next set. Is he going to get an ace? Is he going to get an ace? Like, tennis has always been ahead of the curve. I can't imagine. That's why this whole stuff about, I don't care about 3K, 4K, 5K, and 8K and all this. I only care about it for betting purposes, Sal. So
absolutely.
This 5K stuff, I was on a panel once in one of these sports gaming things, and you know, they were saying about the 5K stuff, basically, it'll get to the point where you could bet on, like, free throws. Because it'll be so fast, right? The internet will be so fast, Cam. Is he going to make the net? Like, after Draymond bricked that free throw last night, it would have cut the lead when it was 111-103. Is he going to make the next free throw? You could really bet fast. What's the next play going to be, a pass or a run? Because now, are they going to score the next drive and stuff? But we could get even quicker. We can get quicker.
Well, I think there are some books, none that are sponsored on this show, that you could bet the next pitch if it's going to be over 94 miles an hour or stuff. I'll talk to you about it afterwards, but I swear that exists.
What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive, huh?
What a time to be alive. It's not good for me. You're only one batter ahead of me. What am I going to do? Oh, yeah, I think I'm trying. I'm so far behind on my Chechen cable.
I can just imagine, Sal. Okay, I'm sitting at Chavez Ravine getting all mad. Everyone's sitting there, and you look up, son of a bitch! As you look at the radar gun, what's wrong? I needed 93.2, man. I mean, that was 91, man. I'd be yelling, throw faster!
Faster!
Come on, bro. You gotta throw it harder.
They gotta replay the gun. They gotta replay the speed on the gun. Yeah, by the way, I'm heading out there tonight exactly after I hang up with you guys. I'm going to.
So you weren't there last night for the big Dodgers win?
Well, I tell you what, I shorted the Mets yesterday. I'm not afraid to do it. I'm not going to be ashamed against my team. It was a big travel day. They were unstoppable. I was like, take the Dodgers minus a run and a half. They're not going to show up. I didn't think they'd get four hits, but hopefully they'll bounce back with Bassett tonight. I have them on a same game parlay featured on FanDuel, so that could be good.
My theory is, Sal, just take the Dodgers against everybody except the Pittsburgh Pirates. When they play the Pirates, lesson learned. Lesson learned.
How did that happen?
You believe that? You believe that?
That happens.
1-6, Sal, in 7 games this year against these guys.
Yeah, but they're not terrible. They're better than the Phillies. They're the best team in Pennsylvania. They're better than the Cubs. There's a bunch of teams they're better than this year. They're still the Pirates is the problem.
Dude, I was watching a Pirate game the other night, and they dropped that line, Cam, actually. Right. The Pirates are now the best team in the state of Pennsylvania. Like, they're proud. Like at the end of the broadcast, like they were sticking to the crew. Yeah, we're better than Philadelphia. You might think we suck, Pirate fan, but we're better than the Phillies.
They've been waiting. Awesome. They had that in the chamber. They've been waiting 8 years to use that line.
No, I swear to God, they've said that line a couple of times. Yeah. I'm watching these stupid Pirate games because they're playing the Dodgers. I got the Pirate feed the other night. They kept talking, oh, we're the best record in Pennsylvania. Good for you. NBA Finals, what are we doing here, Sal, with Game 2? What are you doing here?
Well, I'm zagging, right? I was surprised, actually, it didn't open up at 5. Isn't that what happens when the favorite loses in Game 1?
It hit 4.5, Sal. I saw 4 right after the game on FanDuel.
Yeah.
Hit 4.5, and we were talking about how 5s are probably going to show up, and it went back down to 4.
Yeah, it opened to 3.5. You're right. And then it went to 4.5, and then went back down to 4.
I didn't even see the 3.5. Wow.
It was real quick, but it was up there. And I don't think this is lost in a while. A home team favored in the playoffs, do they lose game 2? When they lose game 1, you know, the higher seed usually goes down in game 2. So I don't know. But the other part is, what the hell? What did they need to do? They're up there. How did they lose 40-16 in the fourth quarter? Like, what's more impressive, the 40 or the 16 defensively? Like, I'm not sure how it goes, but that is really something else. That Horford's going 6-8. Now people are talking about Horford for Hall of Fame. Like, give me a break. Basketball's got more problems than I thought if you got Al Horford in the Hall of Fame.
Dude, I haven't had the best of week. It's always a little thing that's going to set me up. But I saw people debating yesterday whether Ryan Fitzpatrick is the best backup ever and whether he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, come on.
And no, look, I'm like, it was actually a media guy. Is Ryan Fitzpatrick, he goes, serious question, is Ryan Fitzpatrick the best ever backup? I'm like, no. Number one, no. And then other people are like, what's the best Ryan Fitzpatrick moment? I'm thinking, I don't know, the time he threw 7 interceptions for the Jets against KC. The Chiefs.
Yeah, remember us. That game?
Spent like $3,000.
That was my favorite, game. Yeah. God. Well, listen, I think once in his career he was considered for MVP, and it was like 2.5 weeks into the season. So if you want to put him in the Hall of Fame for that, where there were 3 days, you can consider him for MVP for one season.
Remember when he held out with the 50. Jets? That's the best. You're Ryan Fitzpatrick. You're holding out? You do that.
Right.
Yeah, you keep holding out, Ryan. He came back for the same amount of money they offered originally.
Here, guys, ready to go.
Even the Jets were like, no, don't fall for his don't fall for this. So you grew up, Sal, let me ask. I know you're a diehard Met guy, but and of course one of the producers of the great 30 for 30. But were you an Islander guy as a kid or a Ranger guy?
Yeah. I love them.
Because you were on the island, right? Yeah.
Grew up on Long Island, so all the players within it were within, like, a few blocks from us. This guy, Billy Carroll, a role player, lived like 3 houses away.
Oh, yeah.
Delivered the papers to him and everything, number 25. But I love the team. Bossy, Trottier, Tinelli, Butch. I had a big Butch Goring 91 jersey. No one else in the neighborhood had him. But, yeah, that's the dynasty. And as an Islander fan, you're really conflicted here, right? Because you want to protect the dynasty, which the Lightning are chasing.
You're like a dolphin. You're like a dolphin with the champagne. You don't want this to happen.
Exactly right. But the last thing you want is the Rangers winning, because they're a despicable fan base. So what do we do? Like, the path is to root for Tampa Bay over the Rangers, but then root for Tampa to lose.
So does it bother you? Does it bother you seeing the Ranger fans having a good time at the Garden and stuff? You're like,
it does.
You said they're despicable. Yeah, it does.
I love it. Really sucks. And Ogden's back. Me taking the bus to middle school, 13-year-old, and like us throwing crap at each other on the bus. Like, I don't know. I can't have it. That was the greatest chant in all of sports, 1940, before they won the cup in 94, right? I mean, that really stuck it to Ranger fans, and then they won it. And now here they are again. I took Tampa Bay tonight. Minus a half a goal in the first period. That's an unbelievable number, 19-0, following a playoff loss. We all know that number. But they're also like 10 out of 12 the first period after they've lost a playoff game. And you're getting plus 174 on it. So take a look at that. They could win 1-0, 3. They've already done it 3 times against the Maple Leafs. So I think they're right there. Vasilevsky's a lot better than he showed, obviously, the other night. I expect them to be stellar and them to be winning at least 1-0 after the first period.
Yeah, the 1940 chant, and sorry, Cam, I'm not doing this to upset you personally, but the new one in the NHL in the buildings is 67.
Oh, no.
67. Toronto Maple Leafs, whatever.
They're going to tweet today. Definitely has a picture out of the arena.
67.
Some real sad times in this arena. I'm like, screw you, meanie. Like, what are you sending random texts about the Leafs' inferiority? Like, enough.
Oh, I'm not even a Leaf fan. I see these people. It's the middle of the summer, and they're tweeting about the Leafs. It's been 22,100 days and 6 hours since the Leaf won a cup.
God.
It's like, get a life, bro. All right.
I agree.
You're a Winnipeg Jet fan. So shut up.
You were very kind to me when the Leafs lost. Actually, you showed sympathy, and I really appreciated it.
Because I had $500 on the Leafs to win the series. So I was kind. I was like, can you believe that? No, I felt bad for the entire city of Trump. But I wanted to say, Sal, actually, and we jumped around. I'm on Tampa tonight, too, in the hockey game. But whoever would have won in game one, I would have thought would have been sort of the zigzag, right? Like if Golden State would have rolled last night, you would have bought back with Boston on Sunday, sure. Right? Don't you get the feeling that, like, we're almost forced. It's like they said on Barty Miller. It's not a sign. It's an order. I'm forced to take Golden State. I'm boxed in to take Golden State on Sunday, Sal. Are you?
Yeah, I am too. And I like, you know, Clay Thompson, look at his numbers too. 20 or more points is even odds or minus 106. I like that. If you look at against Memphis and against Dallas, after a loss, he came out big. He scored, I think, 30, at least 30 in both of those games, certainly more than 20. So look for him. I think they come out and score 120, 25 points somewhere in there. I do worry about Curry. I don't know why he's not around the 42-minute mark.
I'm going to pull the trigger on the over as well. That's the one thing that saved me last night. I had the over, and I took a couple of in-game overs as well. Yeah. Listen, Wiggins has gone over the 16.5 in four of his last six games, and Tatum's an assist machine suddenly. They moved it up to 5.5, but I think we got to take the assist over 5.5 as well, Sal.
So he had 7, I think, almost before halftime yesterday. It's
amazing. Exactly. Thanks, Sal. Enjoy the game tonight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions continues. I'm Morency, kicking it. Rager Redhead, Cam Stewart, Dave Sharapan will step up and in and join us. We got a full house here. Dubsy and Mick a little bit later on as well. Major League Baseball. Let's get after it here as far as the early action is concerned. 7 o'clock Eastern action. Cam, D-backs, Pirates, Tigers, Yankees, Guardians, and Baltimore. Man. Not exactly the most glamorous slate to some of these games.
Nope. Not glamorous.
Arizona,
at
Pittsburgh,
all.
Cleveland, and Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
Phillies, and Angels. Do you have that? Are you going to force this one? Are we going to play the Phillies blindly?
Nah, I'm going
to
lay that.
I don't think it. I don't think we should do it. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose, to be honest.
I'm not doing it. I'm doing a parlay with the Yankees and Blue Jays at minus 127. I have a small play on Arizona with Merrill Kelly against the Pirates. They can only beat the Dodgers. I'm hoping the Snakes get it done. And a small play on the Cleveland Guardians. That's my early card. That's it.
Yeah, I'm going to play the same parlay as you. I don't mind the Jays on the run line either.
No, I'm going to take the Jays on the run line as well. Even though they're the home team, that's fine. But I like the parlay.
Yeah, minus 124 for the parlay is pretty good. But I think the Jays win by – I think listen, Minnesota are a good team, but the Jays are just so hot right now. But, yeah, so the parlay, I don't mind that parlay that you just put in. Tell you, Cam, the White Sox are in a free fall, this team.
They're
up in Tampa tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to – I don't like that game. Something's telling me the White Sox might show up, but I don't want to bet them. So I'm going to lay off.
Looks like a chalky type of parlay night tonight. Nice. And, you know, there's a couple of spots here. Dodgers are a fair price later. And I'll tell you what, people look at Anderson and you're getting value. Anderson's been unbelievable for these guys. He's 6-0, actually. He's 6-0.
Like
the Dodgers win, like, pretty much all the time when he starts. He's pitching well, and you're getting a fair price tonight against the Bassett. But I'm going to ride the early parlay here with Cam. Give me the Blue Jays and the Yankees -123. Blue Jays Yankees parlay. We'll get into the hockey game on the other side.